The tape recorder is on. Maybe we'll do a podcast one day if James figures out how to do that. So it's April 20th. The BRXG call here at 8 p.m. Central. And we have a couple of new folks with us today. So let's just go around the table and introduce everyone. I'm Rolando Hernandez, hosting the Business Rule Experts Group. And my company is called Biz Rules, a business rule consulting firm. James, take it away.
I had to unmute my mic there. Actually, I talked to Mark. You might invite Mark Proctor. He said he was going to join. I talked to him a few minutes ago.
Okay.
See if you can dial him in. I work for FICO, and IBM is one of our partners. Explained that one. But anyway, matter of fact, they're one of our, super partners. I've been in this business for a while, so my rule-based stuff, not what you do, not Metastorm or anything like that, but matter of fact, I haven't even been doing business analytics or anything of that nature. I just do straight-up rule-based systems, so that's it. Next.
Mike?
Mike Hammack. I'm from Michigan, but I find myself in the Dallas area every week now since the beginning of the year.
You're very lucky.
I'm on a project right now at JCPenney, and I've been doing business rules for a long time, but recently I've been switching from one rules engine to another, so I feel like I'm in learning mode big time right now. But I've heard about this group for a while or a year or something like that, so it's good to be able to participate.
Excellent. Thank you. Next, volunteers, Pochuan?
Yeah, this is Pochuan Lin. I'm a Java person and new to the rule-based system. So, and I really like to do rule-based systems. Okay.
You might add that Pochuan is probably the most, he has the highest attendance rating of anybody I know for these groups.
That's right. And even starting with your class, too, that you began last week, James. So.
Yeah, we got a few in the class.
Excellent. So, Kimberly, how about, I think, do you know any of the guys so far?
You know, I don't. Because this is the first one and it's remote, I don't know any of the faces or the players.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll probably run into you at one of the next meetings that James holds on site.
Mine doesn't show, and a couple of others don't show because for some reason we show as being offline. So, all you get is a question mark.
All right. Did we leave anyone else? I think Mark may have joined the call. Mark?
He's there. He's probably got it muted because it's 2:00 in the morning and he doesn't want to wake his wife up.
All right. Kimberly,
smart man.
Yeah, I don't know why we do this after hours, but I have a question for you. Kimberly, are you an employee of Metastorm or a partner of theirs?
Actually, we're a partner of theirs. I work for a company called BPM Wave. And we have done a lot of work over in Europe. We've done a lot of work, and they're expanding out now. But we've targeted oil and gas, and have done huge companies over there. We've done banking, pharma, retail, manufacturing, you name it, we've done it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Why don't you see if you can raise Nunez? It's about 11 o'clock in the morning and over there where he is.
Will do. Yeah, he did not.
Yes.
I talked to him.
Jason should be there as well. Jason and he went out to have beers last night.
Yeah. I talked to Steve Nunez in Australia, I think. And he's out sick. He has a cold and no voice. So he'll join us next time.
Okay. Well, he and Mick and Jason are all in Sydney this week. So
a lot of stuff going on down there. That's great. So where do we want to get started? A quick recap. Jason is putting together the Rules Fest, the October Rules Fest conference for rule bases and expert system technologies. The answer on to where it will be held this year is in San Jose, California. It's official now. We also have the dates are set, and they are October 13th through 16th. At the Dolce Hayes, D-O-L-C-E, Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, Mansion Resort. Dolce Hayes Mansion Resort. Sounds very extravagant in San Jose. Pricing is going to be posted soon on the website. And we don't have that website address officially out yet, but the whole website should be up and running by the end of the week. So the Rules Fest conference is again going to be in October, this time in San Jose. James, you know any?
What were the dates again?
October 13th through 16th is what I heard from Jason today. So you probably want to see if JCPenney wants to send people there and bring yourself out there.
Did you repeat the name of the hotel again?
Dolce Hayes. D-O-L-C-E-H-A-Y-E-S. And once that's out, I can send an invite. I can send a note to everybody with those details and the links.
Okay, that's in San Jose?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's right. Now, I've got a request here for one more person who wants to join us, so I'm going to go and take 1 second to do that. Gene Wang. Let's see. Trying to do a search here in Skype of an ID, but it looks like it wants a name. When you search, okay, got him. I'm sending a request now, so we'll be joined shortly by Gene Wang, and he is another rules-based developer. He's been in the field probably 10, 15 years or more. And I think he's looking for a job right now. He's just finished some engagements with Fair Isaac. I believe he was an employee of Fair Isaac or a consultant. So he'd like to join us. Let me let him know that he's needs to approve my request.
I think I worked with Gene on a project a long time ago.
You know him? Okay, good.
I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
I've met him at the conferences a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't. Maybe not. I don't know. I think with so many people at FICO, they all seem to roll into one big mass now.
Yeah, right. I connected him.
There are people who are great with names and faces and places, and I'm not one of those.
I connected him a few weeks ago with Steve Nunez because Steve was looking to hire, and I know Gene has just finished a project. All right, I have him here, so let me invite him in, and the party can begin.
So can I get a little more background? Are most folks consultants, or just to give me some perspective? And how broad is the group? I know we're having a conference in October, but how many attendees? What kind of audience will that be?
Yeah, Kim, the focus has been mainly business rule consultants or architects, rule-based engineers, people who have focused more on the business rule side. Some of us, like me, do also get involved with BPM. I work a lot with Pega, and they, do both rules and process.
Okay.
But it's mainly focused on the rules side, the knowledge side. And in terms of how many people have been to the conference, James started the October Rule Fest about 3 years ago. James, you had how many the first year, second year?
Actually, there were three of us that started that conference last year, just me. But in 2008, Rollo, myself, and Greg Martin started a conference, October Rules Fest. We had about 150 that year. This past year, 2009, we only had about 84, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, but I think we all know 2009 is an anomaly.
It was really a bad year, and let's not go into that. It was a bad experience. But
yeah,
anyway.
But 2009 was...
The conference itself, itself, speakers were great. Both years. We had some fantastic speakers come in. We had just most most guys already know this, but we had Dr. Forgy there. We had Gary Riley there. Dr. Forgy had been in the Rudy algorithm. Gary Riley, who had been in Clips. We had Mark Proctor, who had been in Drills. We had Jason Feldman, who had been in Open Rules. We had, we had the godfathers of the rule-based industry were there. We had Dahl Cooper was there last year. He wrote one of the first books on rule-based systems, Tom Cooper. So, I mean, we had great speakers, fantastic conference. I just wish we had more people.
Yeah, one of,
I might not have lost so much money.
I would say one of the group characteristics is a lot of the folks have been doing this for a tremendous amount of time. So there's a lot of knowledge in our heads. And we're trying to get that knowledge and share it with some of the newer folks of the industry. But the other thing is, as James pointed out, those names, a lot of these folks are the developers who are actually writing and inventing the rules engines, the rule-based software. So these are the folks who are actually in there designing the engines and the applications that get sold as Fair Isaac. You know, it gets sold as iLogJ rules or Drules. And so those are the developers, not always application developers, but actually building the software tool.
Gene, is still there?
I think Gene has joined us, and then the other membership is...
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Gene.
Yeah, okay. Did we work together on a project? This is James Owen.
Hey, James, I think you left, you know, I know. I worked in 1 week in for Chubb. You remember that?
Yeah. Okay. You were at Chubb. Okay. I was at Chubb, and they didn't like my cowboy boots. No, actually, I got wrote up for wearing Western outfits because I wore my boots, my jeans. My jeans were starched and pressed, but you know, the lady who was in charge didn't like that, so she wrote me up for it.
Nice, James.
And I told her I would start wearing a Sark shirt and tie and coat whenever she did.
You own a tie, James?
I have a closet full of them, but I haven't worn a tie in 20 years.
Nice. So, Kimberly, have we answered your question? We're kind of all over the place, but we're just passionate about the rules and the rule engines. But, you know, we do touch on the BPM side because a lot of us think that the rules drive the processes. You know, they are really what ultimately decides.
Exactly.
What goes on?
That answered my question. Thank you for letting me take you off topic.
That's great. So, Gene, are you have you found a job? Are you still looking for your next project?
Yeah, I'm still looking.
I think it's a good time to be in the market out there right now.
A lot of projects, right now.
Good. Well, good luck. I know I put you in touch with a few folks. Hopefully some of those leads will help.
Where are you located these days?
I live in Maryland, basically Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, you're in a great place to find a job.
lots of projects going on there up in that area. I keep getting a lot of emails about Pega jobs up in the Maryland area. What tools and rule engines do you work with, Gene?
I used both Blazor the Wiser and J Rules, you know.
And J Rules.
As James indicated, I was in Fair Isaac Professional Service. So I also used the Drules.
With drools as well.
Yeah, drools. And recently I also used the visual rules.
Okay.
And the Wells Fargo, I used the homegrown internal tool called the Rule Admin.
It's called, this is good information, Rule Admin?
They
had their own homegrown rules.
Yeah, and when I joined Wells Fargo, they supposed to replace that their homegrown tool with Blazor Advisor and J Rules. Then I was in the team to select that tool, wow, it's a very serious effort.
Right.
And end of day, they picked up Blaze the Wiser. However, the team originated that effort is still using their own homegrown tool. Very interesting.
Interesting, interesting. Well, this is one of the cool things about the call is we hear a lot of, we get the scoop on what's really going on out there. That's great. So Blaze, J Rules, Drools, Visual Rules, and Wells Fargo's homegrown thing.
Yeah, all different perspective.
Good, good. Let me ask you, Mike Hammack, what rule engines and BREs have you used? What tools do you have experience with, Mike? Not on the call, maybe on mute. James, what tools, BREs, have you experienced with?
You talking to me, Bobby?
Yeah.
Oh, my soul. No, okay. Oh, Lord. Nexpert, and none of you have ever heard of Nexpert, except for maybe Mark. It's an old backward chaining system, which is what I started on. First Class Fusion, a couple of other things like that.
Get out of here.
High-end commercial products would be Blaze Advisor, J Rules, Visual Rules, Drools, Jest, Clips. Got to be one or two others in there somewhere. Oh, Visual Rules. Visual Rules, of course.
Good Lord, a lot of them. I haven't heard that name.
I like all of them, but some of them I like, some of them I don't.
Yeah, I haven't heard First Class Fusion in a long time, James. That was
That was when I first started for a long time ago, about 98.
That ran on PC-DOS. I remember using that, too.
Yeah, I used First Class Fusion and Level 5. But
okay.
Those were both written in BASIC, and they didn't use a Rudy algorithm or anything like that. But we ran them on a PC, and they work.
Nice.
They were nothing like, I mean, it's like comparing a rock to, you know, the Rock of Gibraltar. It's nothing like what we have.
Interesting. That's great. Well, I'll give you a summary. James, can you check the transcript? I think Mark may have
Mark,
his voice out.
Mark's writing a book down below, yeah.
I think his microphone may not be working, but check out what he's saying. And
I thought it's 2 o'clock in the morning over there at 2:30, rather.
My microphone's working. My wife's downstairs, so I'm just staying quiet. And I don't want to interrupt people as well, so I'll just tap. And if anything's important, you want me, I'm here.
Any Drools questions, we'll wake you up.
Okay.
That's great. That's great. Well, Rolando here, have you worked a lot with Aon from Computer Associates? Lately, a lot of work with Pega. And have also done some development with some of the tools James mentioned. VisiRule, First Class Fusion, and also some Visual Rules work. And lately looking at VisiRule as well. But the main applications have been built with my customers using Pega and OSMILog J Rules as well. And Aon, which I wonder if is still out there in the market, but it used to be one of the bigger engines, especially in the insurance field. Mike, are you back on board? Is your mic working? Mike? Maybe not. Anyone else with experience in BREs that wanted to tell us about? Kimberly, have you worked with the Business Rule Engine software?
No, we're exclusively in that BPM space. So we work with it, but in the confines of the tools.
Okay. Do you know if MetaStorm has that's a BPM tool. Do you know if they have a rule engine embedded?
Yeah, I know they do because you're creating your processes and your rules all within the tool. So all the policies and processes and rules so that everything can interact together.
Interesting. Okay. I don't remember reading anything about whether they have, whether they license any software rule engine with it. Or maybe it's a homegrown built-in.
And I don't know if it's separate. I think it would be more embedded.
Right, right. Okay. Well, maybe something I want to look at. What their latest engine runs on. That's good. So I've had we had some questions that went out on the email. Did anyone have any particular questions or new problems they've run against that they're trying to solve? Maybe someone else on the call can help them out with. I know recently, about a month ago, Mike had some issues at his client, and we put him in touch with some of his vendors. But anything new going on that something new you've discovered in rules or happenings we don't know about? Time to share. What's new, James? Mike, is that you?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we lost you. We couldn't hear you for a while.
No, that was all my technical problems here.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm here.
Well, you know, I couldn't.
I was going to say, I recognized a few of those old names in the rules engines that James mentioned, like Level 5, but I've done most of my work with Aeon, and I mentioned before I'm really in a learning mode right now. That's because my current project is with JRules, so I'm really getting up to speed on that. And I guess I'm finding out that there's a whole lot more to the architecture that I need to learn besides the rules engine itself. The rules engine is the easy part for me right now.
Is that right? And the type of application are you building? Is it recommending or diagnostics?
Well, this, I've done a lot of work in insurance. This one, being in retail at JCPenney, is more like customer data, master data related.
Interesting. Cool. Well, I think it's your mic that may be giving the echo. When you go on mute, I hear that thing go away. We should just try and get together one day for lunch, Mike. I know James is around here too. We probably connect with you one day up in that area. Jim Rice is usually on the call, and he's up in Plano, which is, I think, where you're at as well. Kimberly, what part of Dallas are you in?
I'm near where 635 and 35 interchange, so I'm near all the freeways.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, I put it out there in case anyone has questions or issues they want to talk about. One question I have that came across in one of my projects. Last month, I got great advice about using global variables or global rules, and I got some nice guidance on a good way to do that no matter what engine you use. I've run across something else in my project, and I wanted to see what the team here thinks about it. I've been documenting rules where you have the if X, then Y, you know, the X and Y variables. And lately, we've had to go back and find out which of the variables are asked to the user, which ones are, you know, in the user interface, user inputs, and which fields are resolved or answered by rules, or maybe by looking up in the database. So I wonder what everyone's experience might be with when you are given a rule book to develop. I know I'm usually designing the rule books. Many of you on the call are usually building the applications. So I'm on the upfront side most of the time, creating those rule books. Is it helpful for you to be given, in the specs, when you're given a rule like if X, then Y, if Y, then Z, do you need to know which fields are going to be sourced by the user input, by database lookups, by calculations, or by other rules, especially rules that are chaining, you know, backward or forward? Do you need to know that, and is it helpful to include that level of data, metadata maybe, in the rule books? Does that even make any sense? I don't even know if that question came out right.
One of my projects involved gathering data up front and then firing a bunch of rules on it. So if that's a factor, I mean, the old classic style of an expert system is conversational. So the inference engine asks for one piece of information that it needs at a time during chaining. But that wasn't the way they wanted to do the user interface on this particular project. So really, we had to identify a lot of data up front, put it in the screen. So then I would think you'd want to know which data was user input, so you could group that together.
Do you have any particular ways or methods you've seen to document that? Is it, do you do it right in the rule engine, or do you do it in the documentation up front? Looking for maybe any best practices or alternatives. I think it's good to capture. I'm not sure I know the best way to capture that today. James, you have any thoughts on that? Capturing the data source?
I'm sorry, I was writing and not listening. What was the question again?
I think I'm, in general, I'm trying to figure out how important is it to document in the rulebook specs the data source. Like this field is going to be populated by a rule, or this data is, you know, this variable is going to be sourced by a database lookup, a calculation, or user input. In my case, I had to go back to hundreds and hundreds of fields and find out which ones were UI fields.
It depends on the client and how they got their stuff set up and how they have the rule book set up. But the IT guys are definitely going to want to have that connection. The business people really don't care. They shouldn't have to care. They should not have to care where you got the data. They only want to know that I have a customer, I have a client, this is the address that I'm looking at to run my rule on, because if they're in that address area or not in that address area, then I might want to do something. If they're a client of 10 years or a client of 5 years or a gold client or silver client, then I want to do something. I don't care where that data comes from. I just want to be able to run the rules. Geeks, on the other hand, IT guys, have to know each and every place it comes from. Because here's the problem you're going to get into. If you're accessing something that they weren't talking about, and I wish Greg were here to back me up on this, but at Bell South we ran into this problem, is that when we were talking about a specific datum, a specific point of data that we wanted to use, we found that it was located maybe in several different places by the same name. Therefore, it might be in this database by the same name that is in another database by the same name. I know that's not Cricket, but it did exist that way because it's a very old system. So you had to make sure that you had the correct datum for that particular rule. And that's where the geeks had to get with the business guys and work it out that, okay, are we talking about the same thing? And that's where you have to come up with the other thing that you and I talked about before, is you have to come up with a dictionary of terms. And what do these terms mean? And where do they get these terms? If you don't get all that straightened out up front, don't write the rules. You can't do it.
Right. And we've all been there where the terms change midway through, you know, development. And you go back. So that glossary of terms, I think we all agree you need. And I do agree, I think the techies, you know, the developers need to know where to source this stuff. And what we found is we needed to know which rules set those variables. So we were looking at what Aon called, you know, where used or who uses. Used by, I think it was called in Aon. So for every variable in the rule base, we could click on it and see what rules use that and which rules set it. I don't know if the other engines do similar kind of things today. Does Blaze do that or have that capability, James? Or iLog?
iLog did have it. Blaze does, but it's a different way of doing it. Blaze Advisor, and Gene, back me up on this. Blaze Advisor's he's worked with Jay Rose as well. Is different from other systems in that it has to integrate with all of the business software that Fair Isaac has. Rule sales, for example, account for, let's say, 10% of everything we do. The big deal that we have to do is integrate with fraud detection and with business optimization suites and all this other stuff that Fair Isaac has, and the rules have to integrate with that. So the way that they're written and the way that they're done and all the hooks that they have and all the things, it looks like superfluous things to somebody who's doing straight rules. But if you're working with, you know, big offline systems, you know, SAP and all the other stuff, then you have to hook into those things and work well with them too. You have to be a good neighbor.
Is that maybe...
Okay. So, yeah, first of all, I think actually, though we are talking about the rules, but that actually is a bigger topic. Now, from rule perspective, I agree with James. Probably rule authors, they don't care too much. But in the reality, like I used to develop a tool to manage these vocabularies. And nowadays, you have web service, you have SaaS, you have relational database, all these same thing, but they have different names, you know, different, for example, you know, the integer, the length of a string, all the different. So later we have to develop a tool to manage this kind of thing. And recently there's another development called MDM. It's Master Data Management thing. They try to solve this problem, you know. Mm-hmm. And from a rule perspective, certainly a rule also need to understand that, you know, the where the data from and rough idea, right? That's my
right
perspective.
Yeah, another one I would add is document management is another sort of a package that often gets integrated with the BREs. Mike, you were doing MDM as also Master Data Management. Does that bring in rule-based capability, or do you find that rules are an afterthought or need to be added separate?
No, they can be implemented right into the core of the functionality of the master data management because, well, I guess you get the two classic advantages of rules, one being that if you implement them using the rules engine, using business rules analysis techniques, then the rules are understood by the business users. And then the second advantage being that if you need to, you can expose them to the users for them to do the maintenance and do the update or the authoring. So both of those things, from what I've seen so far, you know, just my few months now of experience with this MDM project, those both fit in with MDM pretty well. Some of the things we're doing are not really that much to the rocket science category as far as rules, but it's integrated pretty tightly.
Interesting. Well, James, you have any groundbreaking thoughts? You haven't spoken up that much today. What's new in your world out there of not being independent anymore?
It's a job. It's something new to me. Always before in product management, I worked on doing standards and things like that. Now I'm doing straight up product management. It's a different world. So I'm learning quickly what I have to do and what I don't have to do, and
yeah,
things to ignore and yeah, things that are extremely important. You know, I worked a whole day on one thing, and my fearless leader looked at it and said, "No, this is you're down in the weeds again. You got to get up in the trees and look out." You know, as a product manager kind of thing, I have to manage the product. I don't do code anymore.
Yeah,
it's just a strange world.
Right.
So.
New things. Well, a couple of you guys mentioned, I have a question I want to throw out there, and a couple of you guys mentioned the idea of this upfront glossary, that the terminology has to be determined, this terms glossary. Anybody have, what tools do you use for that? Do you go right into the engine and build that? Do you use Word or Excel? My clients seem to want this glossary separate from the application. They don't want it in the BRE because the glossary belongs to the business, and it's also to be used across multiple applications. What experience do all of you guys and gals have with building the upfront glossary, how do you create it? What do you use?
Well, my current project, we're using a product called Rule Express that's made by Rule Arts, which is Rick Garrett's latest venture, I guess you could say, if you know Rick. It's really good for the vocabulary. It's got a lot of ideas that we're not using right now but are in there that have to do with neighborhoods or different groups of users that they may own a particular set of terms, or they may just be borrowers. I don't know if I'm using the right phrases here, but they may just be users or borrowers of those terms. And so it's pretty comprehensive about the different ways that the vocabulary could be not just defined, but also kind of viewed from different perspectives by different areas of the organization. So anyway, that's a nice tool for starting with the vocabulary, starting with the fact model, before you get into the rules. So it can be used as a centralized repository for that, and of course it's completely separate from any execution model, any rules engine, although it does have a bridge to at least one of the rules engine tools.
Hmm. And how much
is kind of a new tool.
Uh-huh. And how much is that? Hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars for that tool?
I don't know.
No, okay.
That was a part of my job description to write that check.
Yeah, interesting. James, what have you used for creating these vocabularies?
Hang on, Bobby. I'll be right back.
Gene? How about you? With your customers, what do they do?
From Blaze perspective, because mainly Blaze Advisor is a physical tool, right? Physical means at the physical level. And certainly you can use like comments other way, but basically it's a physical level repository, right? It has a business object model, which is basically a list of vocabularies and variables. But they are basically they are physical level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then what we do, like when we do the consulting, then we use different tools. Like most basic tool is spreadsheet, right? You can develop a spreadsheet for vocabulary. So if the client has its own tool, then they can use their own tool, like Mike indicated, like somebody using this Rule Express.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple of these logical tools. In the market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like, to my knowledge, Wells Fargo, they develop their own logical rule repository too.
For the rule repository, not just the terms, you mean? Not just the glossary, but the...
Yeah, it's both, you know, both rules and the terms.
Right. Yeah, I've used... Clients like to have Excel. Many of these terms start out in Excel before you even get in there. They have a lot of these done in Excel or Word. I'm still surprised when you go in and say to the customer, do you have your glossary and do you have a dictionary? And most of the time they don't. Even a really complex insurance company may, it's not obvious, but they may not have it. Kimberly, I know you haven't done specifically rules projects, but in your implementations, do you deal with or get involved with a glossary level view or terminology?
For your... As we go through the enterprise architecture, we define a lot of things within the system, but it's more automated versus them having a Word document or something that they can scroll through. Because the system automates everything, it's taken care of
by that package, by that software package.
Right, right. Okay. By going in and defining it as you're linking everything up.
Right, right, right. So one thing, Gene, if you have this in the physical engine, like in Blaze, and the customer wants to switch out into a different engine, or even just use it outside of a Blaze, can they export that? Can this glossary be used outside the app?
To my knowledge, yeah, certainly Blaze Advisor generates the ports, right? It can generate different formats of reports, and but there's no standard format, right? Example, you can export here and import it over there. There's no way.
Right. Yeah. No import. Sure.
From other perspective, because like both BlazeAdvisor and GLUs, they support the Java object model and XML model, right? So you don't have to import export. You just you can import the same Java model to Blaze and to GLUs. And I believe this is a similar thing to Jules too, you know.
Right.
So it's reusable. But it's all at the physical level, not the logical level.
But when you have, let's say you have an application for, diagnosis at a customer, mm-hmm. application number one, and you have a glossary in that application, then they want to build a second app. You know, a product selection application. Can they start with that existing glossary, or do they have to start from scratch? Because that's what one of the things I'm struggling with the customers is, you know, we're building one application after another in a new area. Sometimes we're reusing terminology. So that glossary, having it stuck inside the BRE app, is limiting us because there's, you know, other things that aren't related to BREs, or there are other brand new applications. So we're looking at kind of an enterprise glossary, not an application glossary. And I don't know if the BREs like Blaze are there. Maybe that's something Rule Express handles. Is it tied to an app, Mike?
You mean as far as taking it from the facts and terms further into rules?
Yeah. Is the glossary, connected to one application, or
there's a bridge that lets you import things and export things between JRules and Rule Express. It's kind of, I guess you could say it's at an early stage of development. I mean, it's been out there and it basically works, but it may not be mature yet.
Yeah. Interesting.
It does go quite far, though, in the direction of actually authoring the rules in Rule Express. It's not just for the dictionary terminology management. You go ahead and document process models, and then you can document decisions and actually write rules. And all the way along, it's integrated so that when you use terms, they're kind of hyperlinked. When you write rules, you're using terms, then you can
click
and see the definition that you've stored for that term.
Right.
Actually, iLog has about the same problem that we do there. You're running down a rabbit trail that there's not really an answer to, except a long time ago, and I don't know if Michael or Gene or any of these guys have ever worked with it, but when iLog first came out with .NET, it's not there anymore, but they had it. At least I was told it wasn't there anymore. I don't know if it is or not. I haven't worked with .NET. But I was doing a review for .NET, and they actually, if you had Microsoft Word Pro, and you're running on Windows, and you had to have like five or six different products running at the same time, you could write your rules in Microsoft Word, and they went right down to IRL. They were transformed into XML version of IRL, iLog rule language. And it was a great tool, except it was incredibly difficult to maintain, and I think they finally dropped it because it was so bloody difficult to keep everything in sync. Did Michael or Gene work with that?
Well, I've seen a little, you know, proof of concept prototype of that. It's in the current version of the product. It did start out in the .NET product with JRealz first, but now it's in the Java-based product too, and it's called Realz Solutions for Office.
It's called what?
Realz Solutions for Office.
Okay.
So it'll go between Word. You got to have Word 2007. It won't work with 2003, but you can export your rules into a Word form, and then you can actually work with them in a Word document, and it displays a new additional ribbon of tools inside Microsoft Word that are just for working with rules. And it'll give you a window on the side with an outline view of your rule-based structure and things like that, so it looks pretty slick.
Yeah, I think probably the absolute finest. I mean, I'm you guys know I'm product manager for FICO, okay? So I've said this before and I'll say it again, that the really coolest interface I ever saw was the one that Haley had, that used to be Arthur Reedy, and then became something else, then became Haley Authority, and finally he came out with a thing that you just sit there and type your rules in, and if you don't know what, if your editor does not know what that object or what that thing means, then it comes up in bold print, and you have to go solve. You have to go point it to the proper place in your data. But it doesn't keep the developer from just writing rules, you know, freehand. And it's a fantastic product. The .NET product I work with in iLog, I had to develop my object just like I do in JRules first before I could, you know, link my rules into it. But in this product, you just take off and start writing the rules as they come to your head. And then you work out the details later. It was great, but it had a drawback. It only ran on Windows, and it only ran on this product. I'm through.
And it's not available anymore. Is it on the market anymore, James?
They put Haley on the shelf, remember? RealBurst bought Haley, and then they put it on the shelf. Oracle bought RealBurst, and they left it on the shelf. With a crying shame, man. That was a great engine.
Yeah,
right, but that's why they buy them. They buy them to remove competition from the marketplace.
Actually, RealBurst needed Haley's engine because their stuff was very, very slow. And then they said, okay, well, Haley's engine won't integrate within our RealBurst stuff, which is more like a spreadsheet. And it won't work very well with that because it's more of an ops heritage, which is almost everybody who has a Reedy algorithm has an ops heritage somewhere along the way. But they said, okay, we can't work with that. We're developing our own internally. So they actually bought the product and put it on the shelf. Oracle buys RealBurst and they just leave it on the shelf. It's really a shame. I mean, I'm glad they did because it means business is easier for me, but, you know, I still like that interface.
Kimberly, good point. Good point. That's right.
Hey, look, this is my company, and I'm the product manager. I just happen to like that interface.
It was nice. writing in English. I know you had to do a lot of work create that object model to make it work, but it's impressive. It shows you the potential, really, you know, looking at AI.
He spent about 4 years working on that thing before he ever showed it to anybody.
Yeah.
And when he finally did, what he had done was he had come up with the English language. That's why he couldn't put it in another language. It worked strictly with the English language because it worked with adverbs, verbs, nouns. Remember we drew that the other night in class. And what he did was he wrote the entire parser so that it took English and transposed it into rules. It was great.
A real co-generator, an awesome natural language interface, too.
But a bitch to maintain. I mean, just a pain in the whatever. I mean, it was unbelievably hard because you couldn't transpose it to another language. You had to maintain it. You know, if something else new came up, you had to define it. And I worked with it for a while. And you had, everything that came up new, you had to go back and define it. And it didn't come with a whole lot of stuff already defined.
And but isn't that job security?
Well, it wasn't for him because somebody bought his company and kicked him out.
Well, he has that now. Nice.
Hey, what the hell? He walked away with a few million bucks.
All right. Well, let me ask. Anybody have other questions or items they want to bring up? I've got something to wrap up with, to food for thought. But go around the table one time and see what you're thinking. Poshwan?
Yeah, I remember seeing the demo of Heidi, and just like Jim said, it's very interesting. Yeah. And could be difficult to translate, I think. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm gonna interrupt before we go around and do this wrap up. Why don't I mention my thoughts so that way we can hear your, I'd like to hear your feedback on it. We've had a number of these calls for over a year now. One of the thoughts I've had is are we at the point where some of us would like to volunteer to join and split up into teams or working groups where you go off and maybe do some research or write a white paper or write a case study or some research and original research and put some slides or presentations together that might be submitted to a conference like Rules Fest, or split up into working groups that maybe define sort of real usable standards, like very simply, something I always start off with customers is, you know, when they go and buy the Rules Engine software, they have to hire people, so they don't have a good job description. Are we smart enough in the group and with our connections in the network can we write standard job description templates for rules, for the developer, for a rule-based analyst, etc.? Is that something we can do to make available publicly and then share with the community? You know, white papers, templates, maybe Excel decision table templates, white papers on using them, or tips and tool, you know, tips and techniques, lessons learned, anything like this that you guys would like to work on as a team between meetings. Is there any interest at all in forming these working groups to tackle any of these issues? And that's what my thought was. So I'd love to hear what you think about that as we go around the table. So, Poshwan, if you have thoughts on that, Mike, Hammack.
Yeah, this is some interesting topics. I guess I'm seeing some things being written lately that are kind of interesting. The guys from Visual Rules, is that what Tom Peter Voice is with? Anyway, he's written a couple white papers lately about kind of the rules engine industry. I think some of those things are interesting. I would have limited time to do some of that, but it sounds like worthwhile stuff.
What's missing out there that you think, you know, isn't available? Maybe that's one.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I would love to hear more feedback about your opinion about the Tom's white paper.
About which white paper?
Now, Tom Debois wrote a white paper recently.
Yeah, I forget if the topic was kind of the current state of the rules engine marketplace or the history or something.
If anybody has a link to that, maybe you could post it to the group. I haven't seen it. I'm not familiar with it, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'll look for it.
Good, good. Okay. James, thoughts on that? You're already working. You don't have time for any working groups.
Something else. I'm sorry. Tom DeVoy, whatever his name was, yeah. He wrote an article on what?
Yeah, James, I forward his white paper to you afterwards.
All right.
He didn't, no. Tom Cooper might have.
We'll get a link. I think Mike's digging up a link, or Gene has a link. Maybe he'll send that out to you, James. I have not seen it, so I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. See, Mark, I'm sitting here watching Mark. He's working on his product. He's doing code. He's watching TV, and he's talking to us at the same time.
Tom.
I'm trying to do two things at once, and I can't do it. Mark is one of those multitasking minds. I've known a few people like that can work on four or five different projects at once. I mean, all at once. It's like the left side of his brain and the right side of his brain is connected, see?
Nice.
Physiologically, that's what makes men different from women, is that our men brain separates into two lobes, and a woman retains that link between the two lobes, and that's why what they call a woman's sixth sense. She still has that link between the right side and left side of her brain going on, and men tend to divide the two, and they lose once, what is it, the right side, they become left side people, and more focused. For example, when I get focused on something, I can't hear anything else.
We've noticed that happen sometimes, James.
It happens to all men. Very, very few men can do that. My brother's kind of like that. He can do two or three things at once, but he has a knack where he can turn everything else off. But he can usually multitask, like Mark does. I called up Mark one night, and I know he's listening. but I called him up one night, like 2 or 3 in the morning. He was watching a DVD. The TV was on. He was talking to somebody on the phone. He was chatting with me on the chat line and writing code. He was doing about 5 things at once. I mean, I don't know how he does that.
Impressive. And we learned about the brain. It always comes up. I'm telling you, we always have some AI going on in here.
Hey, I got the
beautiful James.
White paper.
Post the link. All right. I got a link also from Kimberly, and I sent that out. It's on the transcript there. Kimberly sent me an email with a link, and that's posted, I think, about the Metastorm and the rule engine they may have.
And obviously, it was published in 2006, so it's a little bit old, but it was one of the reviews that provided more information than you can find on the Metastorm site. So you know it's downwardly compatible, so you know it's going to be those same kinds of connections.
Right, right. And they say right there on the front page they do connect with other third-party rule engines. So that's great. Thanks for sending that out. Mike, you have one? You're going to send the link then? You found it? To Tom's article. Now, is Tom working with visual rules now?
It's visual rules. In fact, the article is, quite a lot from the perspective of visual rules and where it stands relative to the whole industry. But it's called The Past, Present, and Future of Business Rules. So, a big title, interesting title.
And the future...
I thought it was a PDF.
I have that link somewhere. I'll go look it up.
Good.
Yeah, I got it by saying that I would, give them my email or something. I had to, sign up to get it.
Right.
Now, Visual Rules was one of the sponsors for 2008 at ORF. And then most everyone at ORF got on their mailing list back then. And so we still get all their emails and things. But that was a pretty good article. Is David Kim still with Visual Rules?
That's correct.
What?
That's correct.
Confirmed.
He is still with him, okay. I hadn't seen his name pop up very often.
Yeah, good. That's great. So, what's next? Wrap up, Kimberly. You're an official new member of BRXG. We'll have to get together with you for lunch or something out here in Dallas.
Definitely, and I'm interested in what you're doing over on the BPM side as well.
Nice. That's great. It's always, it's all connected. I think these terms we talked about, the rules and process, the decisions, and we're just trying to make sense of it all along the way. It's too much to absorb. I think my brain hurts now after this call. Good. So anyone we haven't heard from, I've got Andrew Waterman on the list, but I don't think he joined.
Waterman hasn't joined in yet.
And Mark is ready for bed. I think he's actually building his EXE right now and about to compile it, looks like.
EXE?
His drools, right? Next release.
EXE? Yuck!
Yeah, okay. All right, so no comments
he's
on...
He's building his jar files, man.
Yeah, well, there you go. That says it all. So no comments at all on... no one interested in joining any working group to actually do something. We just want to keep doing the call. That's enough.
I think next time, why don't we... you put out an email with an agenda sort of thing like A, B, C, D, and all that sort of rot, and we didn't touch any of that stuff. Maybe next time we need to go along with what you have here. I was looking forward to hearing some answers on this stuff.
Well, shoot us your questions, and we can get them lined up for next time.
You already sent them.
Well, if you have any others, James, that you want to address. One of them, too, was do we want to open this up to have a vendor come and do a demonstration? Like maybe Kimberly one day, a demo of Metastorm and the rules engine features, or BRE vendors. A couple of them, Visual Rules actually, has contacted me and wondered if they can join and participate in one of the meetings. It's fine with me. I think that'd be okay. What do you guys think?
You got two of these already.
No problems. All right. Okay, good idea, James. Next time we'll follow that agenda. And if you do have other questions you want to talk about, send them in so we can line them up for next month's call. What is the date of that? Do you know, James?
The one you sent out?
What's the next meeting? What's the next meeting? It would be May 18.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, and for your next session, what have you got lined up for your May 11th meeting in Dallas? What's going on there?
May 11th, yeah. iLog's coming out to present for the business part. They're going to. They haven't agreed to do the technical part, but they have agreed to do the business part This is the Bring Your Boss meeting for the May 11th.
Will that be a demo of J-Rules?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be Bring Your Boss meeting, and it's going to be at the manager level. It's not going to be the geek level, but the geeks should bring their bosses to this meeting, thereby helping them understand rules. And the next month, we'll have another vendor. Next month, another vendor if we can line them up. So that's why I sent you an email today to try to get some other vendors lined up.
Okay.
I've got one lined up for June, but I'll tell you about it later.
BRE, Rule Engine Vendors, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a few calls.
Is this session going to be remote, or is it going to be in person?
No, it's at Improving Enterprises, right next to the Sun office.
Oh, okay.
Off the tollway, right?
Send me your email, and I'll put you on the email list for Dallas Rules Group.
Okay. I'll put it on in Skype.
All right.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, and if it's okay with everyone, I can just send out a list of everyone's Skype and regular emails. Anybody object to that?
No.
Long as mine shows JCO@KVSC.com.
I'll put both of your emails on there, James.
No, don't put both my emails on there, please.
Oh, I thought that's what you said. That's what you told me in your reply earlier today. Which one do you want?
Put JCO@KVSC.com. This is my offline activity, sir.
Okay.
I'm permitted to have offline activities. This is one of them. I don't pay to do this.
All right.
So, James, are you still in Dallas or are you in San Francisco?
Big D, little A, double L, A, S. Well, that spells Dallas. Dallas. I'm in Fort Worth, where the West begins.
James, you just proved that your brain is not connected between the left and right. That settles it for once and for sure.
I know. It's okay. I wanted to be a country singer one time, but I found out that my addiction was too good. So.
That's great. My son Alex here is listening in, and he's just cracking up. I think he fell off his chair. Good stuff. All right, well.
Hey, man, stay loose.
K keep it moving, and till next time, anything new comes up, send me a note, and we'll post it, and I'll let you all know everyone's emails and contact info. Go have fun, keep ruling, and see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Yes, you.
Thank you. Nice meeting you all. Bye-bye.